2 Samuel chapter 9, and we're commencing to read, as I said, verse 1. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may show the kindness of a God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet." The king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lodabar." And King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth." And he answered, "Behold, thy servant." David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, "I have given unto thy master's son all that pertain to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, "According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do." "As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons." And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did continually eat at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet. And at verse 13, and again we thank God for his word, and we know he'll bless it to all our hearts tonight. Many a film has been made, and indeed many a book has been written about people who have gone from rags to riches. It seems to be that many people like to hear or to see somebody going from rags to riches. I wonder if you realize also that many successful businesses around this world have brought many people from rags to riches. Whenever I think about this tonight, I think of a person by the name of Colonel Saunders. Colonel Saunders lived in Kentucky in America, and I wouldn't be surprised tonight if a book has been written about him in America. Maybe a film has been made about him as well. I'm not too sure. Did you know that Colonel Saunders had many problems as he lived his life? Indeed, Colonel Saunders was a man who found it very difficult to hold down a regular job. When it came to the point in his life for him to retire, I wonder, do you realize that he was so disgusted with his first payment for retirement that he wondered how he would ever survive on it? So disgusted was he that he went to the office where his retirement payment was paid out from. And he asked them for an advance. He asked them for the next week's payment. And the reason he asked for this was because he had an idea. He wanted the money so that he could go to his local shop and be able to buy some pieces of chicken and be able to buy some other pieces. And they gave him the money. I don't know how he persuaded them to do this, but they gave him the money, and he went out and he bought himself some chicken and some other stuff so that he could put a coating on it. And how we know that really the rest is history, because what he did was he went home, then he cooked the chicken. He had this lovely coating on it, and he went out round the doors of his neighborhood to sell this chicken. It was, of course, from this that Kentucky Fried Chicken was established. And how we know tonight that right across the world, Kentucky Fried Chicken can be found. This really is a story of someone going from rags to riches. How we like to see this to happen to people. And as I've said, this has been the focus of films that have been made and books that have been written. That has happened to many other people in life. But maybe as we come here to this gospel meeting tonight, maybe it is that you are wishing that this would happen to your life. Maybe as we gather here tonight, you're finding life very difficult. Maybe it is you're finding it difficult to hold down a regular job. Maybe it is with the job that you have that you're finding it a struggle to pay the bills. Maybe you just find that you never seem to be able to get ahead of those bills. There just seems to be little purpose to living. And you just wish tonight that something like this would happen in your life and that it would change your life completely. You realize tonight that as you sit in this gospel meeting that this can happen to you. Do you realize that before you leave this place tonight that you can go from rags to riches? For thousands and thousands of people down through the centuries, this has been their experience. And do you realize that even after they have died, they continued to enjoy the very inheritance that they were entitled to? Who are these people who have gone from rags to riches in gospel meetings, we ask? Who are these people who have gone from rags to riches in their bedrooms, or in children's meetings, or in camps, or in the workplace? And on we could go naming the very places that they've gone from rags to riches. I say to you tonight, these people are all who have put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I say to you tonight, these people are all who have acknowledged their sin before God and sought His forgiveness for sin. They have repented. These people are all who have yielded their lives unto Him, having turned from a life of sin and turned to following Him. These people are all who have recognized their own righteousnesses as filthy rags, but who have had their lives totally transformed whenever they turned to the Lord Jesus Christ, pleading with Him to save them from their sin. And I say to you tonight, this is how they have gone from rags to riches. I'm not talking here about the physical, about the material. But what I'm talking about here is the spiritual. And the great thing about tonight, about this, is that this can happen to you even as you gather with us here in this church building. Tonight you can go from rags to riches. As Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, it says, all your righteousnesses are but as filthy rags. What's that mean? What it means is that all your church going, it means all your giving to the church, all the things that you've been doing that you think will get you in the right side of God, they're all but filthy rags. I want you to realize tonight that if you come and put your trust in Jesus Christ for salvation, you can move from the place of spiritual barrenness and be seated at the King's table. Tonight you can eat as one of the King's sons as you're adopted into the family of God. One of the great stories in the Bible of somebody going from rags to riches really in an instant, in the material sense, is that of Mephibosheth. He's the one that we've been reading about in 2 Samuel chapter 9, but how I believe that we have here before us a wonderful picture of what happens to somebody in the spiritual sense whenever they're saved by the grace of God. I wonder tonight as we gather here if you have ever heard of the grace of God. And the reason I mention this is because it is only by the grace of God that you can move from the place of spiritual rags to the place of spiritual riches. You watch any film, you read any book, you read about somebody in this world who goes from rags to riches, and what you will discover is that more or less all the time, they've had to work for it. That's what Colonel Saunders had to do. But in the spiritual realm, let's realize tonight that we cannot work to be saved. We cannot do any work that will save us. It is only by the grace of God that we can be saved. Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is receiving from God that which we in no way deserve at all. One man, Chuck Swindoll, an American, he describes grace as God snatching us from a barren place, from a dry, desolate life of sin, and setting us to eat from the bounty of his table. It is undeserved and unrepayable. It is free. And I say to you tonight, whenever we consider the events of 2 Samuel chapter 9, I can see grace written all over it. Because Mephibosheth, he was a man who deserved nothing but death from King David, but yet he was a man who ended up in the royal palace eating at the king's table. And I say to you tonight that this wonderful change can happen in your life tonight as well. As we come to consider this passage, I want you to note three things with me tonight. I want you to note, first of all, the grace granted Mephibosheth a royal position. Note here the grace granted Mephibosheth a royal position. Whenever we come to chapter 9 here in 2 Samuel, we see that Mephibosheth lived in a place called Lodabar. David was king of Israel at the time. David had been on the throne for some time. Whenever he inquired one day to those around him to see if anybody of the house of Saul was still alive. Saul, we need to understand, was the previous king of Israel. And the reason David made this inquiry was because he wanted to show kindness to whoever was left of Saul's house. In response to this inquiry, David is told by a man by the name of Ziba that a man by the name of Ziba is able to help him. And we can see that Ziba said to him, went and told him about Mephibosheth in verses 3 and 4, because what we read these words is, or what we read is these words. And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar." In reading this, what we need to understand is that when Mephibosheth was in the place called Lodabar, he was in hiding from David. Mephibosheth was the grandson of Saul, the former king of Israel. He was the son of Jonathan, who was Saul's son. The reason I mention this is because Jonathan and Saul died together at the same time. And whenever the new king took over the kingship of Israel, whenever he became king, he had the right to kill anyone who belonged to the previous king's family. And what this resulted in was Mephibosheth ending up hiding in Lodabar, because whenever news came back to the royal palace that Jonathan and Saul had been killed in battle, his nurse lifted him. He was only 5 years old at the time. His nurse lifted him and she sought to take him to a place of safety. She knew what it meant for Mephibosheth whenever Saul and Jonathan died. But as she sought to take him to a place of safety, we note in the word of God in 2 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 4 that she dropped him. And in dropping him, he became lame in both of his feet. And therefore she must then have lifted him once again and took him off to this place called Lodabar. I think this place, or this name Lodabar, is most interesting. It simply means no pasture. It was a place of barrenness. What we know is that it was a place full of forgotten people. It was the place where the castouts of society lived. It was the place where the nobodies of society lived in that day. And it was the place where crippled Mephibosheth was living as he sought to hide from King David. But having said all this, what is it we then read in verse 5 and also in verse 13? Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Verse 13. So Mephibosheth dwelt where? In Jerusalem. For he did continually eat at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. I think this is most amazing. I think this is most interesting, because in an instant, Mephibosheth, he went from being a hideaway to being an adopted son of the king. In an instant, Mephibosheth went from a place of barrenness to a place of great wealth. In an instant, he went from a place where he sat at a table of no value to the most important table in all the land of Israel. In an instant, Mephibosheth went from being a nobody to being a somebody. No longer was he a cast out of society. No longer was he a stranger to the king. But now he was a member of the royal family. And I want to say to you tonight, to those of you who are still unsaved, that in the spiritual realm, this can happen to you as well. But if you accept the king's invitation to become a child of his tonight, do you realize tonight that God is seeking you? Is it not that we were singing about this in our first hymn tonight? Of Jesus coming from Bethlehem to do what? To seek and to save that which was lost. He knows where you are tonight, but tonight he wants you to become a child of his. What you must understand is that no matter how you have lived your life, God sees you as a sinner. And because of this, tonight you must realize you're in a place of spiritual barrenness. You're in great need. You're living in poverty. Realize tonight you are far from God. But realize tonight also that all this can change for you tonight. Because God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son into this world to do what? To die in your stead upon the cross of Calvary so that you could be saved. And God this because he's not willing that any should perish in a lost eternity in hell. Tonight he invites you to become a child of his by turning from the sin in your life tonight. Do you realize tonight you can become royalty? Do you realize tonight that you can become a child of God? Do you realize tonight that you can move from the place of spiritual barrenness to the place of royal position? You and I were not deserving of this, but because of God's amazing grace, this is now what he wants to do for you if you but turn from your life of sin and call unto the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. Grace brought Mephibosheth into the royal position. And I say to you tonight that it is only by grace that this can happen to you. What does the course say? Only by grace can we enter. Only by grace can we stand, not by our human endeavors, but by the blood of the Lamb. Into your presence you call us. You call us to come. Into your presence you draw us. And now, by your grace we come. I wonder tonight, is it that you're trying to get to heaven your own way? Realize tonight, no matter how hard you try, you will never get to heaven. It's only by coming and putting your trust in Christ. God sent him into this world to die in your place upon the cross, in my place. And it's only whenever we call upon him, have all our sins forgiven, that we can be saved and know we're going home to heaven. Oh, how wonderful is the grace of God. Concerning Mephibosheth, we notice here that grace granted him a royal position. But I want you to note also in these verses that grace granted him a remarkable peace. It also granted him a remarkable peace. Having been sent for Mephibosheth, he came to save David. I would imagine that as he came to see David, he came trembling because he probably thought this was the end for him. Remember, he didn't know why David wanted him. Remember why he was in Lodabar. He was in Lodabar because he was hiding from David. He was no doubt over all those years thinking that if David found him, David would kill him. Because David had the right to do this. But what is it we then read in verse 7 whenever Mephibosheth came to David? David said to him these words, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." What impact those words must have had on Mephibosheth. Remember, David had the right to put him to death, but all his fears, they would have lifted whenever he heard instead that David was going to bestow great blessing upon him. And I want to say to you tonight that if you become a child of God by being reconciled unto him once again, Just as he commands you to be, you will experience wonderful peace within your heart, and no greater experience or greater peace could you experience in your life. Again, this is something not one of us deserve, but it's something God wants us to have. Is it not that we live in a day when many people saying they just long for peace in this world? Many people are saying they long to have great peace within their hearts. But how you must realize tonight that the only way that you can have true peace in your heart is by you being reconciled unto God once again. What you must understand tonight is that in your sin you're an enemy of God. What you must understand tonight is that in your sin, you're a subject to God's wrath. What you must realize tonight is that in your sin, you belong to the family of Satan. You're of your father, the devil. You are deserving of eternal punishment. But the wonderful thing tonight is if you come and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, peace, wonderful peace, true peace, everlasting peace will flood your soul. You'll be a changed person, and indeed what joy it will give to your heart for the rest of your days. As we think about this tonight, as we think of the peace that would have flooded the heart of Mephibosheth, I wonder tonight, does peace flood your soul because you know that God will never put you to spiritual death? Can I ask you tonight, are you a subject of God's wrath? Or are you in that place where you can have sweet fellowship with God tonight and know that he will never give to you that which you deserve, which is an eternity in hell? Can I ask you tonight, is your father the devil? Or is it God? How wonderful it is to be able to live life knowing that I'm no longer subject to God's wrath. What a difference it makes in my life to be able to wake into each new day knowing that no longer that I'm an enemy of God, but that I'm a child of God. How wonderful it is to be able to face each new day knowing I have peace with God. And how tonight you need to realize that you need to have peace with God by having your sins forgiven. None of us are deserving of this action from God, as Mephibosheth was not deserving of this action from David, but this is what God wants us all to have, as David wanted Mephibosheth to have it. Oh, what does the words of the hymn say? No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine, alive in him my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Bold I approach the eternal throne, claim the crown through Christ, my own. Oh, grace, it granted him a royal position. He became one of the king's sons, and tonight you can become a child of God. We note here also that grace granted him a remarkable peace. No doubt he came in trembling, but the very words of David would have changed him. Tonight, if you come and put your trust in Jesus Christ, no longer will you be a subject of God's wrath. But he will transform your heart, your life, and wonderful peace will flood your soul. But what we note also here in these verses is that grace granted him a restored portion. It also granted him a restored portion. What is it we read in verse 7? David said unto him, fear not. For I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father. And thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Verse 9. Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertain to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. What a turnaround this was, Mephibosheth. And how I say to you tonight, unsaved one, this can be your experience also. When Saul and Jonathan died, it meant that Mephibosheth was no longer entitled to all that he would have been entitled to materially. The death of Jonathan and Saul, it brought an end to this. But because of David's kindness, he restored to Mephibosheth all that belonged to Saul. And along with this was the promise that food would be provided for him every day as he would sit at the king's table. And I want to say to you tonight that even as you're sitting in this meeting, realize that you are sitting with the wealthiest people in all the earth. Maybe some of you who are saved tonight don't even realize that. Do you realize tonight we are the wealthiest people in all the earth? We may not look it. We may not have the biggest bank accounts here on earth. But understand tonight we have something that is far greater, because tonight we have a heavenly Father who knows everything about us, who has told us that he will supply our every need, for there is a bountiful supply at his table. But how greater also is the fact that we have an inheritance that is incorruptible. It is undefiled and it fadeth not away. I love the words of 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4, where it says these words: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away. And then it says these words: reserved in heaven for you. Wonderful words written to believers. I wonder tonight, is this what you have tonight? Or is it tonight that you have something which moth and rust is able to destroy and will be gone from you for all of eternity as you live in hell and in the lake of fire? The song of many of us gathered here tonight is this, but I wonder if it is yours. We are going to a palace that is built of gold. Glory to God, hallelujah, where the king in all his splendor we shall soon behold. Glory to God, hallelujah, oh, the children of the Lord have a right to shout and sing, for the way is growing bright and our souls are on the wing. We are going by and by to the palace of the king. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I wonder tonight, can you sing that? Or is it tonight that if you were to sing where you're going to for all of eternity, you'd be saying, I'm going to the place called hell. And I'm going there because I've never put my trust in Jesus Christ. Oh, Mephibosheth, he had all restored to him, all that was promised to him many years before. He lost it all when Jonathan and Saul died. But by grace from David, he had it all restored and his life was wonderfully transformed. Oh, for Mephibosheth, it was a case of going from rags to riches. It was all because of grace. Mephibosheth, he never deserved any of it. Remember, all he was deserving of was death. Yet in an instant his life was wonderfully transformed. And I say to you tonight, unsaved one, that tonight, because of grace, you can receive a royal position. Tonight you can receive a remarkable peace. Realize tonight that you can receive a restored portion. As I look at the words of Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 9, do you know what I do not see? And I think this we need to note. I do not see Mephibosheth rejecting and refusing all that David wanted him to have. Never do we read of Mephibosheth turning round and saying, no, I don't want it. Verse 13, it says that he dwelt in Jerusalem. He did eat at the king's table continually. But how I wonder tonight, as you have heard the gospel, heard of how Jesus Christ died upon the cross for your sin, as you have heard of your need to be saved, I wonder tonight what your response will be to the gospel call. Is it tonight? You say no. live with the prospect of going out into a lost eternity in hell? Or is it tonight you'll say, yes, this is what I want. God, I thank you that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for me. Thank you that you should ever want to save one such as I. Tonight I come and I repent of sin. I call upon you to save me. And tonight I surrender my life unto you. What a wonderful change was brought about in Mephibosheth's life. But I wonder tonight, will a wonderful change be brought about in your life as well?